Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. As always, what a wonderful human being he is. I met him around 2001, and I thought his name was reminiscent of a baseball player because it is. John Wells, or David Wells, was a big pitcher at the time, I believe, for the Yankees or the Mets, one of those teams. I know as much about space baseball as I do cave exploration. This is the What's Your Problem podcast. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Of course, broadcasting somewhat live from the Big Dot HQ here in Spring Hill. Big Dot Lighting, Big Dot Electrical. Check us out at both websites, bigdotlighting.com, bigdotelectrical.com. If you have electrical problems, we have electrical solutions. And of course, if you need anything LED lighting-esque, let us know. What's Your Problem is a podcast focusing around Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals and their issues of the day. Because if you're in business, you know, like anybody else that is in business, it's always something. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. And today, we have someone yet again from my B&I chapter, who everybody in the chapter is a massively enjoyable person, especially this one. I've always had a particular fondness for this particular person because she's cool. She does business in a really cool way. She represents an awesome legacy, legendary brand. Please welcome to the show, Mrs. Melanie Colbreth. How are you?
Hello.
Hey.
I'm great.
First time on a podcast.
Absolutely. I feel, and even like a radio thing, I feel like I'm behind the scenes at a radio station. This is amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I try to make it, you know, it sounds like, you know, amateur hour, but hey, I try to do the best I can.
I'm totally impressed. It's very cool.
So before we get into everything, I forgot to tell you about this. We do something called the Random Five. Okay, and there are five completely random questions that I will ask you. I don't even know what they are. I seriously don't know what these questions are going to be. They're fun. They're supposed to get the energy going and have all that kind of stuff to get the flow going. You ready?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Great.
Usually I prep people before that, but I'm kind of surprising with you now. All right. The Random Five brought to you by Kalioka Company right there on the display. Check them out if you really want a product that will clean very well. And using a probiotic-based type of system. Check them out. KaliokaCompany.com. The link is in the description. Here we go. Question number one. Completely random. What's the longest rabbit hole you've been down? That could be YouTube. It could be, you know, anything like that.
Well, the first thing that jumped in my mind was change of season, clean out my closet just a couple months ago. Thought it was going to be a really fast switcheroo. Let's switch out the clothes, and it turned into an all-day project. That I don't know if that's what you're going for, but
no,
that's what hits me. That was the project.
That's
because
what comes
I
to
like
mind.
Clothes.
Yeah, that's so what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had unlimited funds to build a house that you would live in for the rest of your life, what would the finished house be like?
That's awesome. I was just talking about this today. It would be on a lake, a gorgeous lake somewhere with an amazing view. With my own boat dock and, you know, able to enjoy.
You like boating?
I do. I grew up, so my family's from Paris, Tennessee, and Kentucky Lake is out that way. It's a beautiful lake. And so as a kid, we moved from there when I was about seven. But as a kid, I remember on the weekends, it was like my favorite thing to do was to go out on the lake. And even growing up, so we moved to Lebanon, and there's lakes on that part,
yeah,
that part of Tennessee.
There's lakes
too,
everywhere
so,
in Tennessee.
Yeah. So I do love going out on the lake and skiing, and
it's funny,
so that would
I've,
be my dream house. Yeah.
I've never known you to be a native of Tennessee.
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, you sound like you could be from Connecticut.
Wow.
Don't take that the wrong way, but I'm saying that, you know.
I don't have the southern drawl.
No, not at all. I mean, you almost got a voiceover career, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We lived 2 years in Texas, 2 years in Kentucky, but the rest of the time, all Tennessee. So we moved a little bit when I was young.
So you were always in the South, at least.
But in the South, yeah.
Never had the draw.
I guess not. I don't know.
Where are your parents from?
Paris, Tennessee. They grew up together. My grandmothers were best friends. Small town, country
nice.
Town. You know, small small town USA is what Paris is. It's a great place.
Question number three is, is hierarchy necessary for all successful human communities?
Oh, dear.
That's completely random. I know. It's deep.
I don't even know. Like, what it, I mean, I think that's just part of, like, the circle of...
It kind of just happens.
It does, naturally. I mean, because that's part of when you... work and life experience, and that people...
Some people need to be led. Mm-hmm. Some people need to lead.
Need to lead, yeah. Mm. It's just kind of natural, but...
If you were a ghost and could possess people, what would you make them do?
So hard. I think I would want them to always be positive. Pet peeve of mine is, like, negative...
Negativity.
Negativity, complaining. Like, let's find a solution. So
that's,
I guess I would try to fill them with... positive energy. That's what I would want him.
I could only imagine why that is. I know your backstory, so I'm thinking that has a part to play.
It does, yeah.
Like, I believe this is question number five, but I came up in radio. I can't count. You have $1 million to make a viral video. What video do you make?
Oh, good grief. Oh, my. That's really hard. I don't know. My family is crazy important to me, and so I would think if something was going to go viral, I'd want it to have something to do with my family. I have 9 nieces and nephews that I'm crazy about, and so I would think something fun with them. Yeah.
Something to always remember you by. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that was question five. Let me see what the next one is. That will be the... Oh, you know what? Here's a good one. Okay. What is the most useful app on your phone? We'll say this is question five. Why not?
The most useful one. The one that connects to my business probably is the one I use the most. That I go through.
Is it a proprietary app from the brand?
It is. Gotcha. Yes, probably. But even just. I have to say my mileage tracker, because that one is also an important part of my job. Just
Mile
that I
IQ?
Use, yes, yeah. To be able to use that all the time. That makes that was because I've been in business long enough to have not had that, and was old school writing down mileage. So those are the two that I use the most. I don't know if that answers that. But.
Well, there you go. There's the random five. Thank you, Melanie, very much for partaking in that.
You're welcome.
Once again, brought to you by Kalioka Company. Check those guys out. Links in the description. Great product. If you have something that smells like cat urine, my gosh, this stuff will take it right out. It's amazing. So there, now that you have an image. So getting into your backstory, I know it, but a lot of people listening do not. And I think it's quite fascinating how it played out, because I'll start it out. In college, you needed a way to make money, right? And you stumbled into something.
I did. Right? So college was a pivotal time for a lot of reasons. College is a pivotal season in life. But for me, growing up, so junior high and high school, I have sensitive skin and I'd struggled with acne for years. And it was something that I was insecure then about my appearance because of those battles. Well, in college, I was exposed to a new product and got to try it. And... instantly
believed in it.
Helped. Right? Yeah, it worked. I could tell it was going to make a difference. And so then the backstory, my aunt is the one who introduced me to it. And she was in Memphis. I was in Nashville. And I already shared from Paris, Tennessee. So we found ourselves at my grandmother's house trying this new thing. And so she had actually decided to do more. And she wanted to work from home. She had a small child and wanted to be able to step away from a big corporate job and work from home. And so she was growing her business. And through that, by default, she shared with me just in a training thing. She said, "Can I help? Will you help me out? Let me tell you a little bit about how this works and practice," because she was in training. So she calls me up, and I still remember clear as day. We go through this all. I'm playing along, answering the questions, whatever, you know, trying to help her with her training. And when I heard all of this, I heard I can make some extra money. And so I'm in college. I was in nursing school, finishing my bachelor's degree. I was at this time in it, like heavy hit, like clinicals, getting ready to graduate. I did work part-time on the weekends as a pharmacy technician. And so that's what I heard, extra money, but also my skin was so much better. And so right. I knew that if they were working, it was working for me. I had a handful of friends and family that also liked the products, that, you know, I could make some extra cash and find more people like me who also had struggles, you know, with their skin. And so that's how I thought it would be in the beginning, when I extra cash on the side.
Yeah. And it turned into something you completely didn't anticipate.
Completely changed.
You thought you were going to be a labor and delivery nurse.
Yes. Right? And so I was for several years, actually.
But long term, you thought that was going to be the deal.
I did. Right. I did. So what happened? It wasn't long. So like I got started. The supplies come in and I only knew my aunt. I had never been around direct salespeople, just had not been in that world and exposed to it. So I'm going through all the training materials and it makes me laugh now because thinking back to this season of my life. So as I'm looking through the training materials, there's a brochure that has like all these different cars on it. It says it's a company car program. Well, it was like it just jumped out and like hit me in the face because that exact week, even I remember clear as day, my car not starting. And wow. I'm like going out to needing to get to class, needing to get to work. The car's not working. It even broke down a couple times in Nashville. And so I immediately like call my aunt, tell me about this. What is the deal? She tells me what she knows. And then she has the person who had been training her call me because she had a car and she explains it. In that process, I also, through learning about the training, you know, looking through the training stuff, I'd learned more about the company and it had been around for like over 40 years and proven system. It was working for so many people in the U.S., but even in other countries. And so I knew if whatever they said, people were doing it, it was working and I needed a car.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me do it. I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. So that was really the pivotal point.
And you have to sell so many units a month in order to qualify for the
you
first
do.
Level tier, right?
That's right. So at
was
that
it,
point,
did it seem like Everest at the time?
Not really. I think because I was so happy with how I felt about the way that I looked now, that my appearance was better. I just was so thrilled with the products, and I did need the car. So it was like mom and dad had given me the car through college, and it was like, okay, at this point, you're graduating soon. It's time for you to be an adult and get your own. And I didn't want to buy a car. So I just, it was really more like the need and that it knew it was a quality product. So it didn't seem back then. I mean, it didn't really seem like that big of a deal. I just did what they told me to do. And it was 10 months, it was done. Like I had started and 10 months later, it's done.
You got your company
calling
car.
Me up from Nashville, the dealership, and Miss Wimberly, your car is here. When do you want to pick it up? And I'll never forget, I called my parents and called the, so at that point I had customers and I had built a team of people as well. And so
in 10 months you did that?
Yes. And I graduated from college.
That's exceptional. I mean,
thanks.
A lot of people in those types of scenarios, takes them years to get to the car, right?
It does. Yeah. It does. So I like to share, you know, like, I mean, when you make a decision, when you believe in something, number one, and it's, I think for me, sales is like finding a need and filling it. And so like for me, it had fed my need of having a clearer complexion, having good skincare. And then the next need was that I needed this car. And so learning that program and following it, it didn't seem that challenging at the time, but now looking back, yeah, people are like blown away with that. But I'm also,
does it blow you away too?
It does. Yeah. But I can be a little, I mean, like I'm pretty determined when I make my mind up for something. I can be, and that can be good and bad at times. Sometimes stubbornness is not always, you know,
right.
a great thing. But I can be, pretty strong-willed and determined. And so I'm a rule follower. I followed the directions, you know. I mean, I follow what people tell you to do. And so, it worked. And I think that was the thing. Like, it wasn't brand new. It wasn't like something that somebody had just thought of. It had been around forever. And so I didn't have a reason to doubt because it had worked for so long.
Did you come across people in your team building early on that looked at that program, you know, the car program, and said to themselves, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? You come across people that have to have that thought process, right? Is that something you just don't get or understand?
It is a challenge. I believe that if you really want to do something, you can. That's kind of my nature, is like the glass is always half full. Mm-hmm. That's part of, I think, why I wanted to be a nurse, that I enjoy, if there's a problem, I like to find a solution. So if somebody's sick, I like to help them get better. Or when labor and delivery, like we're going to have a healthy baby, a healthy, you know, outcome for mom and baby and family. I worked in other areas too, outside when I first, before I totally left the nursing world.
When did that happen?
So I went part-time. So it was about 3 years that I still doing the directs, you know, driving the company car to the hospital working. I think I was there about 3 years. Full time, and then went to part time. It took me a bit to totally quit. I was I think part of it was I didn't totally hate being a nurse. I mean, I enjoyed that part of it, but I also had fallen in love with running a business and working.
I had no idea that was coming to you, right?
Right. I didn't expect that. I didn't know I had that in me to be able to do this and that I could make a living at it too, and that people really did that.
Being a nurse is a grind, man. I mean, you're there, what, 8, 17, 16 hours a day? And
12. Yeah, 12. I did 12-hour shifts, and then you took call. You know, honestly, I worked holidays. I worked some Christmas and Thanksgiving when I mentioned my family is important to me. I love spending time with family, and holidays were always a big deal. And so
somebody's got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, they never close. And so that was probably one of the draining things of, you know, always having to do that. And the long shifts. I mean, it's definitely I'm still super tight with a lot of nurses, and I absolutely respect and encourage anyone to be a nurse. I have I mean, it's a great career. It's served me really well, and I think it makes me better in this role now because I'm a nurse, because I learned some of these things, and I utilize that in my appointments with people when I'm talking with them.
What do you think is, if you summed it up in one word, the biggest, most important quality that you bring to the table that maybe you learned in nursing?
Listening, because it's important that a nurse is listening to the patient, what's going on, and using that intuition of assessing the situation. And so learning to listen when somebody sits down with me, what are they really, what are their issues? What is their need? And then that's where what I follow. I love to shop. I love to experience, you know, the retail therapy world, but I don't like to be sold to. And I think a lot of people are that way, that they enjoy buying and enjoy shopping, but they don't want to have a pushy salesperson. And so I think that that's really what I try to do, is to be able to listen to the need, fill in there, and find, you know, solutions. And that's really what nurses do.
And is that the thing that your organization really capitalizes on, that kind of training?
Absolutely.
Be the solution, be them-centric, always listen. The one word that came to my mind when you were telling that story was empathy for me. You know, sales is empathy. It's having the understanding of who your client is. Sales is solving a problem. A big part of the first cycle of it is finding what that problem is. And if you can solve it, and solve it in an authentic, natural, value-packed way, then great. You know?
Absolutely.
That's how relationships are born.
Yes, that's exactly what we're taught to do.
I'm thinking, you know, in college, well, why am I going to go to nursing school now? Why am I going to do this? I mean, I'm making a bank doing what I'm doing with this, but it was something that you felt like you had to do. I get that.
Probably, yeah, a little bit. And I was in my last year. So when this was all like my senior year. So I graduated and started the new job in that 10 months of earning the car. So it was all kind of like meshed
very
together.
Short overlap.
Yes. Yeah. So it wasn't, I was definitely going to be a nurse at that point because we were almost done.
Were there people that saw you doing what you were doing with this other thing that what you're doing now, and said, what are you doing here? You know, we understand you need more money and everything, but, you know, can't just get a job at a convenience store or something?
Probably so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can remember some conversations that went down that path. But then they saw, I mean, I really did. I can still remember patients that I took care of. And there was definitely a part of me that loved that. I mean, the very last like actual time I worked, I mean, I was emotional because I knew I was closing a chapter, you know, of my life. And, but it was one of those, like, the good to great, you know, like, I was a good nurse, and I was, you know, I was doing good in both areas, but I couldn't be great because I was juggling way too many things.
Fractured focus.
Right. Yep. So I knew I had to make some changes.
And then at that point, how did it feel? When did you know to make the jump? That big leap?
Well, in that season, I also got married.
Gosh.
Well, no, later. Like this was later. I was doing both when I met my husband and then got married.
Now, did you pursue him as ferociously as you pursue other things? Or who pursued who in that scenario?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I didn't know where to go there. We were introduced through friends, so I think it was pretty mutual. I mean, we had tons in common, and we clicked pretty fast. Yeah. So I don't know.
It was one of those things that, I mean, somebody set you up?
They did, yes. We had mutual friends. We were both out of school. Like,
that's not the right one. Let's do this one. There we go.
We were.
Tell me the story of how you met him.
Dear me.
He's all like, I saw him walking in the room.
No, he had moved back to Nashville. So he had worked in Washington, D.C. for a little bit, and he had moved back to Tennessee. And I went to church with a couple that was mutual friends of ours, and they were like, he's back in town. We think you need to meet him. And they went on, and it was a few months before we actually finally met. And then we finally...
So he's like, I hear you're a nurse.
No.
That's not how it went down?
No. No.
I need to be taken care of.
No. We met at a coffee shop, and he doesn't even drink coffee.
I've met him before. He's a great guy.
Yeah. But he did say, why are you working as a nurse?
Really?
He did. That first meeting.
Because he knew what you did?
He knew how successful I was, and then could be if I continued on.
Right.
He did say that.
Were you matching your salary as a nurse up to a certain point?
Yeah.
How long did
it
take
for
that?
Oh goodness. I was not the greatest at tracking numbers back in the day when I was young, not always keeping up with things. But it was pretty fast because I bought a house at 24, a new house in Nashville. Of course, Nashville's grown a lot since then, but and that was with both incomes, you know, to be able to do that as a single person. So I mean, it was pretty fast that the income had grown, but it was just a matter of, you know, deciding to step away. And of course, then I'm living on two incomes. That was one of the mistakes that I made along the way. So that life just has a way of kind of changing the path, and I didn't think I was gonna want to step away from nursing in the beginning. So
right. Well, I mean, you're 22, 23 years old. What do you know by then? You know?
Right, right. I say a lot of times I learned lessons from like the school of hard knocks because I'm kind of that, like I make decisions and when I was young especially, would make decisions fast. And I've learned to slow down a little bit now.
So you're married before 25?
No. We didn't get this. No, we didn't even meet till I was 30.
Oh, real? Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, we were both out of school. We'd both been on our own for a little bit.
I'm thinking that you graduated college and went into nursing. You had to go to medical school too, right?
No. Nursing is just, it's a
regular
bachelor's degree. Yeah, okay. I didn't go on to get a master's. No, right. Just a bachelor's is all.
So 4 years, you spent 3 years in nursing. You're 25, 26 years old. You meet Hubs right around that time?
Around about,
yeah. And then all of a sudden he tells you, what are you doing here? Yeah. You'd be making bank. Just double down on this.
Yeah.
Or triple down on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, his encouragement, even like my parents were like, you know, you've been a nurse. You did great as a nurse. You know, whatever. You're great at this too. Like, it all works together. So, I think I just was, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it full force. And so, it was difficult after going to school to do something to step away from that. But then recognizing, though, I'm still a nurse everywhere I go. Like, it doesn't go away. It's still the way I was trained. Mm-hmm. And so I just bring that into my business, too.
Yeah, I think it's something you had to go through in order to be as successful as you are now.
Right.
You know, those listening skills, the empathy skills, and, you know, just being that special person that handles that. You know, because you're kind of, in a way, doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of people and understanding the product and how it can help them. And,
you
know, it has to do with the dermatology of things and stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, getting into the focus that you had being diverted or bisected, rather, having a fractured focus, focusing on nursing and then focusing on the business, you jump into your business. Does it just, it's like you pour on the piston sauce and there off you go because all of a sudden your focus is like on, you know, jet power,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it happened?
A little bit. I mean, I asked some questions. So, I joined... So you introduced me as being a part of BNI. I joined BNI during that season too. That was one of the, I felt like I wanted to have a good connection for referral sources and to be confident to support myself 100%, you know. So
was that a factor? Like, holy crap, how am I going to support myself? Was that a question in your mind?
I mean, I think we all have like positive, it's like the two things on your shoulders, you know, that I can let myself go down a bad path and start doubting, you know, because working full commission when you've had a salary type of job, you know, is a different mindset. You have to change the way that you think a little bit.
Totally. I get it.
Yeah. So it, and you know, there's even some studies about how you grew up. If you had parents that were entrepreneurs or parents that were traditional, and I had traditional parents, and they're great parents, but I didn't grow up in a entrepreneur family, if that makes sense. So I had to flip that switch a little bit, even though we have people in my extended family that are absolutely completely independent in their businesses. And so I did have to I at that time, you know, definitely had to work on my self-talk that I could do it. But joining BNI was one of the best things because I met all these people and they're like, oh, I've never had a full, no, I'm always straight commission. Yeah. You know, it's been so encouraging to meet all these successful business owners and that are totally different from me and look at what they're doing, you know, so I knew I could do this too and not have to feel that I need it. I mean, even though I'd already proven that I could do it because I was already successful, but it was just stepping away and having faith, if that makes sense at all.
But it's faith, but also I'll say, if you've heard that, kids, if you want to be somewhere you're not in life, in your business, in a job, audit your circle. Audit who you're hanging around with, mm-hmm. because what you're talking about is exactly that. You mm-hmm. surrounded yourself with people who, yeah, it was that was lack of oxygen working for somebody else and not having mm-hmm. the freedom mm-hmm. was just suffocation, mm-hmm. you know? I get that now. Yeah. I have always had a full-time job in radio. It was freeing for me because it was always what I was supposed to do for that moment or that time in my life, that mm-hmm. season. And then I went into the car business, and I, at the time, was wondering what I was doing, what mm-hmm. in the world did I get myself into? Mm-hmm. But as we went through that season, you find out, it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. You have to take something from it. It's mm-hmm. there. You're learning something here. And mm-hmm. man, did I learn mm-hmm. in that season.
Absolutely. They teach us all the time to look at the five people that you spend most time with.
Yeah.
And that really can show you a little bit about, you know, if you want to do a little reflection, where you're going in your thought process and your goals. But being surrounded by positive, successful business owners who were having same challenges that I would have at times, you know, even though it's a totally different business, that is really encouraging. And so you're right. Yeah. Finding opportunities to be around like-minded people is great.
If you want to see what your life's going to look like down the road, look at the people around you. Mm-hmm. It's very true,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm very wary of that now. I mean, I surround myself with people who are just big thinkers.
Absolutely.
If I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So getting into BNI, that was, I don't want to date you, but I mean, it's over 10 years ago.
Been a long time ago.
A long time, right?
Yep.
And that kind of poured the rocket fuel into it as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you've also got, you have a very intrinsic quality that you're just automatically likable and trustworthy. You just have that aura about you, which helps you become just a rock star salesperson, right? And doing what you do. Because like you said, it's not really sales. I'm just helping people solve a problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So, I mean, is that something you know? Are you aware of that, too? That's how I see you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. I think maybe being a part of BNI has helped me realize that about myself. I didn't probably realize that I was that way. And maybe that is why it grew fast. And maybe that's why I'm still here today, you know, being likable, you know, people do business with people they like.
That's and trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's part of it, you know. So it, you can have a great service or a great product, but if the, you know, delivery of that is not coming through correctly, that person's going to receive, then it's not going to work, you know. So I think there is a lot to that. But I appreciate that compliment.
Hey, you know, if you feel like shedding a few tears, I've got a Kleenex box around here somewhere.
Like, goodness.
You know? Well, with that being said, it is that time.
What's your problem?
Melanie, what's your problem?
So I've been putting a little thought into this because I knew it was coming, right? Because I knew what the podcast was. So it's interesting to think about my problem today because I'm coming out of a year that was so challenging. And I feel like I conquered a big problem this last year. And so I had to kind of think through this a little bit more. And the problem, everybody probably knows, is that I didn't see anybody in person for a whole year. And I am in a business where I meet with people in person and help them with skincare and makeup.
Right.
And so learning to do that and have one of my best years ever, 2020,
Well, describe that. How was it one of your best years? What happened? Monetarily, I would imagine.
Sales grew. And it's a lot, you know, there's a couple things. So one is that I did jump in and pivot because I had, that word, everybody says quit using the word pivot, but there was no option. I remember thinking, you know, this is going to be 2 weeks, this is going to be a month. And I thought, I don't even know if I can do it for a month. And then looking back, I did it for a full year. And I had to learn to connect with someone through a screen and to be able to be authentic, to be likable and trustworthy through a screen with people who've never met me in person and help them with those needs. But what I learned through that process is that if you truly believe in what you do and you have passion behind it, you can be coming through a radio station or through a screen and people will still feel that. That's what happened, that I had to learn that and embrace that. So that was, so to think about a new problem, that after, you know, coming through this season and now starting to, I've learned a lot, starting to be in person a little bit more with people again. I think probably the biggest challenge that I have is when people, so I say all the time, I want to build confidence in people. I want people to feel confident in who they are. So I think my biggest problem is, or challenge, is if someone is not willing to try to grow in that area. And so what I mean by that, if you think about, like, I meet some people who tell me their frustrations about their skin, which was like me, maybe they were like me and they're frustrated with breakouts, but it also could be people feel just as frustrated about being older and aging, right? And what happens, right, you know, with that. And they aren't willing, they're just like, oh, I'm just old, there's nothing you can do about it, you know? And like, but then I've got some ladies that are in their 80s and they're wanting every on-trend thing and they're just like growing and they're confident and they feel good about themselves and like wear the red, like be willing to try a red lipstick, or you know what I'm saying? Like if they really want to, but they're afraid and they think it's not me and I can't do that. And the same can be true for somebody in their career path, that if they're constantly like frustrated with where they are in life, like, let's find a solution, right? Because there are options out there. And maybe because I've worked so hard to build my life the way that I want it to be, I really want people to have that same journey.
So it's frustrating when they don't see the possibilities in themselves.
Yes, right. That's a great way to say it. Yes.
And it's I get that. I see a lot of people that just, you know, some people just want to live an average life and, you know, that's fine and dandy for them. But I said, you know, one of the things that COVID and the beginning of or March of last year pointed out to, what was it, 30 million people, that your job is not safe.
Yeah.
Because 30 million people got let go and cut.
Absolutely. And,
you know, you got to figure that out. It's no longer your daddy's academy.
Yeah.
Where you get a pension and retirement and everything like right. that. When people bring up retirement, I say, you know, what is retirement? What do you want to do? What are you not doing now that you want to do when you're 65?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't wait to do that. If you want to take a trip, take a trip. I mean, that's right. How I feel. Like, make the money, save the money, like, be smart about it. But still, like, you, life's too short. So you should be enjoying every single day, every single moment. And so when I hear people who feel like they can't do that right now, and I know, I mean, everybody's situations, they're all different. But at the same time, like, we can find a positive. And again, as I already shared, that's kind of my natural tendency. Like, there's got to be a solution here that we can figure something out to make this better.
The way I tell people, and my journey into being self-employed entrepreneurial happened by force, right? Mm-hmm. I came out of the car business. I worked for another company for about 9 months. It was kind of a semi-fit, but not really. I was doing all the things that were in my lanes. But after a while, we just understood it wasn't going to work out because it's not my thing. What they were selling is, I'm not passionate about it. Mm-hmm. I was doing it. But at the same time, I was building up all my side accounts that I used to have with voiceover and video and even podcasting at the time. You know, I came in one day and, hey, let's come into the conference room. And, you know, it's been fun, but we can't keep doing this. Here's your final check. And, you know, I had one paycheck to go. Mm-hmm. And this was the second time this had happened in 3-4 years. First time was my exit out of radio into the car business, but I took a jaunt into the collision industry. And the guy I was working for, I mean, he fired 7 people in the first week I worked there. So it was just a matter of time. And at that time, I recall saying, you know, I could do what I'd always done. Voiceover, video, all the stuff that I do on the side now, because I wasn't going back into radio at that point. And my wife was like, you still got the car thing over here. Why don't we do that? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do that. So I did it. I'm glad I did it. Mm-hmm. It was a massive learning experience to, you know, even today I carry it forward and adds value to my life. That day I got, the second time it happened, Courtney, hey, you know, we were supposed to go on a camping trip in 2 weeks. I said, we got to cancel it. What happened? I'm unemployed. Oh, what are you going to do? I said, I'm never working for somebody ever again. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out. What about Disney? We had a Disney trip tentatively planned for May, and I said, we're going. How are we going to go? I don't know.
Figure it out.
I'm going to figure it out, but we're going. I promise you that. That trip, and I tell people this all the time, I just figured out in the first couple of weeks, and this is how simple it is. I think people, a lot of people get overwhelmed with the notion of Mount Everest. How do I get to the top of this mountain, right? They forget it just takes a few steps at the bottom to start climbing. I've got to pay my mortgage. Okay, what projects can I sell to help me pay my mortgage? I got to pay my electric bill. Okay, how many voiceovers can I do to pay my electric bill? That's how I started, bit by bit.
Absolutely.
Right.
Success lies in your daily activity. That is what has been my motto from the beginning. Like what I choose to do each day and not, and balance. I mean, like I am not like a workaholic. I like to have a good time and take off too. But it truly is like the choices that we make day in and day out. We can figure these things out. And you just take it, like you said, step by step.
Yeah, day by day. And well, what was the first thing that you did, Jim? Well, I let everybody know. One thing I learned in the car business, let everybody know what it is that you do. So there's a video on my YouTube and even on LinkedIn of me the day after I got let go talking about, okay, here I am. Here's what happened. And here's my plan. This is what I can do for you. Wow. If you're interested, let's talk. I probably got about five or six conversations started off of that video alone. So it was real. It was from the heart. I didn't, wasn't being pretentious. I laid it all out there. I was, you know, laid it bare. And, you know, yeah, I'm scared right now. I'm completely frightened. I have no idea what to expect, but this is what I'm doing. Here's how I can help you and your business. Let's talk, because you can probably get me cheap. So, and a lot of people did, you know, they reached out and they helped me bridge that gap. And every week I would say to my wife, I'd come up to her and be like, hey, we got next month covered. And she'd be like, okay, good, good. And then, you know, halfway through that month, I'd be like, we got the next month and a half covered. I've got that much out in receivables that that's going to bridge us through. And then when May came, we not only went to Disney World for a bargain basement price. It was all, it was a God thing for sure. But we had a second week in South Florida because I sold a video project to a dealership off of relationships that I had in Nashville. And they hired me in Deerfield Beach to come out and shoot a bunch of video for them and put it all together afterwards. So a business trip on down the, so we had 2 weeks in Florida.
Amazing.
Kids had never seen the ocean.
Oh, wow.
First time for everything on that trip. It was quite the memory.
That's awesome.
So when you think that it's not possible or, oh my God, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's scary. That's okay.
Yes. I find myself constantly reading books and listening to things too that are teaching, you know, and talking about getting out of your comfort zone. Like you have to, if you're in your comfort zone, you're not being stretched.
You're not
and
growing.
Yes. I shared just a few weeks ago with my team, like a rubber band. I'd send them all a rubber band. A rubber band is only needed when it's stretched. And like our life is the same. Like we have to be willing to grow and to stretch. That's when we achieve great things. And so whatever you're afraid to do, that's probably what you should be doing then, well, because you need to step out and do it.
What's your drive look like 5-10 years down the road? What do you want to be doing?
I hope to, I mean, continuing to run my business and have the success maintain, of course, but continue to grow. I enjoy leading, teaching people how to be leaders too and developing that skill in them. So I have some people that currently we've started those conversations, developing, helping people have leadership skills, and just continue to grow, you know, to learn and grow and have a larger platform, I guess, is the best way to say that.
Do you have a monetary goal that you have in mind, where you want to be?
I don't actually know. no, I don't. I don't like money. I like to make money, but money doesn't really motivate me exactly. And I know that sounds kind of weird.
It motivates
weird,
people when you don't have it.
I know. You know, that's true. So that was a recent conversation too. Like I don't want to go back to when I was struggling, but at the same time, like I don't. I would
drive.
Be further along probably if I was just driven by money, because in sales, obviously, the sky's the limit. But I mean, there's trips I want to be able to take. We take a lot of trips. Well, we have plans to continue traveling again in the future. And so there's things like that I'd like to do. But no, I don't have an exact plan except for just to continue to broaden my opportunities to influence. You know, I feel like success gives you a platform to reach people. And so right now, what that looks like with the number of people that I'm involved with, I hope that that will double, maybe triple, you know, over the years to be able to reach even more people.
Well, okay, there's a goal there. There's something that, you know, doubled and tripled where you currently are now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about doing that? And you and I have talked in the past about how you can become a person of interest doing what you do, not only for the business you represent, but for, you know, direct marketing in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be quite a monster when it comes to that stuff. I mean, you got a lot to share. Have you thought about doing that?
Not exactly. not exactly. I mean, I am in the process of looking at what that would be like and looking at... even I've expanded into a mentoring type program that I'm working through right now of developing stronger leadership skills and looking at then, you know, 5 years from now and what will that be. It's finding those opportunities though to speak or to, you know, I don't know, whatever you're like to share with people what my journey has been or how can that serve someone. Sometimes it's where you don't even expect it to happen, you know? I mean, I'm involved in some other organizations that, you know, I don't do it because it's for a business directly, but by default, because people get to know you, you know?
Right.
And so it helps to grow. So it's just a matter of finding more opportunities, I guess, to connect with people.
Well, what makes you uncomfortable? What notion of something putting yourself out there makes you uncomfortable? So you grow.
Speaking on a podcast.
Really?
Really? No. I mean,
but this isn't bad, right?
No, this has been great. Yeah. But this is speaking in front of, well, you know, because when I had to speak and especially speaking in front of a large group of people is out of my comfort zone. And I've learned to do that.
But you know what? When they elected you as the president, you know, 'cause I think we're coming from Kevin Michelson being president to you.
Right.
And they mentioned, Melanie's going to be the president. To me, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fit. That was a good fit. Mm-hmm. That was a good decision. I mean, all the presidents we've had since Kevin.
They've all
since
been great.
They've all been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you especially when you fill in, it's like people coming in, wow, this chapter's really got it together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the image you bestowed. That's what you portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, you have that image.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to hear. There's a little bit of humility coming from you when you're not even aware of that.
Mm-mm.
You're not aware of that at all.
Mm-mm. No.
Dude, you got it.
No, thank you. No, I'm naturally... So I've been president a couple times, and the first time... I've learned this. If I'm speaking in front of people, I don't need to hold a piece of paper because the paper was shaking because my hands. I'm just naturally, I'm naturally more introverted. That's my normal personality style is to be more introverted. And so I've learned that I am able to do this, you know, and I didn't know that was something that I was gifted with until, you know.
Can you host your own podcast doing what you do?
I mean, I'm sure I could find a way to do that.
Yeah. Maybe that's next.
I don't know. You've mentioned that before, I believe.
I know. I think you need to be more out there.
You know, some of it's just like, I don't even, especially this, like this is so.
I wanted to set this up so I can just go.
This is phenomenal. It's amazing.
You.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. You can literally do it, you know. There are people that have built virtual empires. You know, why can't I think of her name? She leads a movement called Fit and Fat. It's PHIT and PHAT.
Okay.
And she, Corinne Crabtree, she's here local.
Mm-hmm.
And she's amassed a following of probably 55,000-60,000 women.
Wow.
That she just lays her soul bare and... tells it like it is, and this is how I lost 100 pounds, and you can do it too. And it's all about adjusting women's relationship with food. My wife has been a big fan of her and stuff like that, and it's been an amazing effect on her life and how she sees herself, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she just gets on in front of her phone, and that's her podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can be done. It doesn't have to be with all this stuff around us. This is just me, you know, using my technological prowess to make something I can just go.
That's where I'm coming short. Like, tech, I have a little bit of it, but I'm not so tech savvy. But
you don't need to do
that.
But
yeah, no, I mean, I think that absolutely helping women feel confident in who they are. That's what I, you know, definitely what I'm passionate about is helping them find whatever that is. You know, if it's like I said, you wear red lipstick. If that makes you feel good, do it. Whatever it is that makes you feel good about yourself, finding those ways to have that confidence. Because when you have confidence, you're a better wife, you're a better mom, you're a better employee, you know, and all the things that you do, when you feel good about yourself and you have high self-esteem, it makes you better in everything.
There's something interesting that you had mentioned. You didn't mention it on air, but when you came in here, you said, I even wore red.
I did.
Because it's my, you know, how does it make it makes you feel good?
It does.
Is it at your confidence suit?
Red is like my color. Yes. Yeah. If I'm going to do something that's out of my comfort zone.
It's like armor.
I wear red and I put on the red lips because it makes me feel, it's a bold color. So it makes me feel good.
Does it give you confidence?
It does. It makes me feel good. Or even like something that's just something I like, you know? Yeah. So I don't mean that I'm not like, so it's not just the outside that matters. I believe that who you are is totally on the inside. But I think that, you know, I can remember in college, I just thought of this, that, there were some guys I was friends with that when they had an exam and they were in business classes, they would put on a full suit to go take the exam because they would do better on the exam if they wore a suit to class that day. And I remember thinking that was crazy because in college, who puts on a suit to go to class? But there is something mentally that when you take the time to like feel good about what you're wearing, you portray yourself.
It really does.
Differently.
I wore, I think I was back in the day, a buddy of mine was in a band who I used to be in a band with. And he asked me to come up on stage as a backup singer, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it required us wearing these Blues Brothers-esque type of suits. Mm-hmm. So I did, you know. And later on after the show, we went out to the usual haunts that we always mingled mm-hmm. at and places that I normally dressed like a hooligan, mm-hmm. you know. And I showed up in this suit. The amount of times I got attention from mm-hmm. the ladies was astounding. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why haven't I been doing this all along?
All the time.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It really does build your confidence. Mm-hmm. I have the same sport jacket at home that I've been wearing for the past 5 years that mm-hmm. probably stinks by now. And I could probably use some Kalioka Company spray. and it's, I stopped wearing it, but, you know, every now and then you pop it on, you're like, I feel like $1 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we all have those favorite things that make us feel good, whether it be clothing, particular handbag for women, you know, or certain pair of shoes that for women again too. But I mean, men have their same things too that give them confidence and make them feel good. It's kind of like I'm thinking like the day you go as a woman getting your hair done, when you leave the hair salon, you feel like $1 million, right? Because they've just made you feel glamorous. I think that you should find ways. We all should find ways to create that every day so that you feel good every day. And even, man, especially when I think we've all learned that in this world of being home a lot more that we are coming, you know, we've experienced for the last year, we needed to find ways to like feel good and like, you know, not sit around in PJs all day, because if you're working from home, you can still get up and get dressed and look nice.
Well, that's one thing I told my wife one time, because, you know, she gets down in the dumps about different things every now and then. And I say, you know what? Get in the practice of putting makeup on every day, or just getting dressed, right? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're a stay-at-home mom and things kind of get very casual. Mm-hmm. You see yourself in the mirror like that,
mm-hmm.
okay? And guess what? A subconscious effect starts to take place that you're not even aware of
mm-hmm.
that chips away at your self-confidence mm-hmm. when you see yourself look like that day in and day out.
Right.
If you start just putting on a nice shirt, even if you're wearing sweats.
Oh yeah.
If you just see yourself in a nice shirt and you put some makeup on, I bet you your confidence would mm-hmm. shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you know it did?
It does. No, yeah. You're right. It makes a difference. Absolutely, it helps. For sure.
Right on. You know, I'll ask how do people find you, but we'll put the link in the description. That cool?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, on social media, I'm really easy to find through Instagram and Facebook, just through my name, even, you know, to connect with me. That's definitely an easy place. All my other connections are through that world, too. But
And who are you looking for as far as, you know, just in general, what kind of people you want to be connected with?
You know, connecting, I work really well with busy women. I mean, I can work with men too, of course, but I would say the bread and butter of the clientele that I serve are the busy, some working, but some just busy women who are moms, but also are the volunteer for every organization out there too. And they're just super busy, because those are people that want to feel confident, need to feel confident. They appreciate, and they don't have a lot of time either, and I'm able to usually save people some time, especially the way I've learned to work now virtually, so helping them through that process. So those busy ladies out there that want to feel good about themselves.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Check her out. Thank you for coming down to the compound.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Absolutely. Always wonderful to see you. And we can count it as a one-to-one, of course. And if you're watching, listening, please go to whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Like, subscribe, rate, review. If you don't like the sound of my voice and want to give us a one-star review, I'm okay with that, because a review is a review. I mean, you know, there's only so much I can do. I'm trying to get better. I listen to every single episode to get better. So there you go. Again, check out whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Again, Melanie, thank you for coming out. Always appreciate it and always wonderful to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.